So the reading tonight comes from John chapter 13, verse 20 to 33. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sends me. After he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple who Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to his disciples and said, Ask him which one he means. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, It is the one to whom I am going to give a piece of bread, and when I have dipped it in the dish, then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, What you're about to do, do quickly. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what he needed for the festival, or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he was gone, Jesus says, Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. This is the word of God.
Joe, thank you very much indeed. Kate is coming up, and for those of you who are watching online and perhaps never met Kate, this is Kate, who's my colleague here. She's our curate. Kate, do you want to come over here, and I shall pray for you? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Kate, and we just really pray your blessing on her now, that you'd anoint her to preach the good news to us, that we'd leave here, Lord, with our hearts changed, having been drawn closer to you. Amen.
Thank you so much. I want to start tonight by thinking about what I consider to be one of the greatest betrayals in cinematic history. Yes, of course, I'm talking about my number one favorite film, The Sound of Music. In this film, we have a devastating betrayal. Liesl, who up until recently I considered to be the most beautiful woman who ever existed, and when I was a young child I wanted to be her, is betrayed by Rolf. They spent all these nights together when he's been delivering telegrams, dancing around the greenhouse, professing their undying love for each other. And yet, he betrays her. The Von Trapp family singers are performing at the Salzburg concert. Yes, I have done the tour. It is absolutely worth it. And they escape in the night during one of the other acts. And they're hiding in the gravestones in the abbey. And the officers come and they see Rolf. And the captain says, no, don't. But Rolf blows his whistle. And then it's the heightened excitement about whether or not they'll manage to get away. When I was thinking about betrayal, I was thinking about, I wonder the impact that that would have had on Liesl. The impact of looking back on someone that she had loved and then also having to reconcile the fact that he betrayed her and her family. How would that have impacted her? Because I'm sure that it is something that she would have thought about for the rest of her life. I don't know if you have ever faced a betrayal from someone that you love, someone treating you in a way that you never expected. But it's incredibly painful. It's incredibly personal, and it's incredibly difficult to forgive and reconcile. And tonight, we are going to be thinking about this theme of betrayal, looking at that passage that Joe read to us from John chapter 13, where Jesus announces to his disciples that Judas is going to betray him. And it's a dramatic moment. It's the last time that these two men will see each other. Soon they will both be dead. And take a moment to think about what they'd been through. Judas's election to being a disciple. And then they spent 3 years in ministry together, Judas following Jesus. They'd have eaten together, drunk together, lived together, slept together, taught together, you know, teaching, serving, worshiping, praying together. And all along, Jesus knew that one night he would turn to Judas and send him out to betray him. A betrayal that would lead to the most painful moment of his life. The moment where he'd be separated from his heavenly Father, who he had been united with for eternity. Tonight, we're going to see that the betrayal was painful. That the betrayal was planned, but that the betrayal was glorifying. So firstly, the betrayal was planned. We see Jesus troubled in spirit. And this is more than just sadness, because the Greek word is only used at two other points. Once when Jesus hears that Lazarus has died, and at another moment in the garden when he prays for the cup of suffering to be removed from him. And J.C. Ryle says that this was a pain and sorrow of betrayal, tinged with the agony and distress of what he felt under as he anticipated the cross. And John is the only gospel writer who notes Jesus' afflictions. And he reminds us that Jesus, like we sung, was a man of sorrows who walked a path littered with pain. But this moment is not only painful for Jesus, it's also painful for the disciples, this close, tight-knit group, because Judas is one of them, one of the disciples who'd been with them since the beginning. And it feels like this moment could have caused the unraveling of this whole embryonic Christian community. As Jesus announces it, they stare at each other. Who is it? And Peter says to John, Jesus' beloved disciple, you find out. Imagine finding out this about one of your group. Someone who had been with you for 3 years. Wouldn't it make you reflect on your whole time together? Maybe you'd start questioning what you believed. Maybe you'd start questioning whether it was true. If Judas could do this, well, what's going to happen next? And we may have had a moment where a Christian who we loved has behaved in a way that we never would have expected. And it is so hard when that happens, because it can have a huge impact on us and our faith. And it can make us question whether our faith is true. But isn't it beautiful that when we look on in Acts, we hear that the Christians, these early Christians, are of one heart. That God didn't let Judas's behavior distract these from believers from continuing in sharing the gospel. And that's because rather than their faith being based on each other, they had their eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We need to always have our eyes fixed on the character of Jesus, who we are trying to become more and more like, not the character of each other. Because when we do that, our eyes are going in the wrong direction. So that is our first point. The betrayal was painful. And secondly, the betrayal was planned. Judas isn't a name that people commonly call their children. I've never held a baby and had the parents tell me that they'd chosen the name Judas. And that's because Judas is a name that when we hear it, we think betrayal. And in this moment, John reveals this to the rest of the disciples. But it's something that he had known all along. He had always known that it would be Judas. He had always known that he'd die on the cross and Judas's betrayal would be part of how it happened. In verse 19, which is just before our passage, this foreknowledge is hinted at, where Jesus says, "I am telling you now before it happens." And then in verse 26, Jesus says, "He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me." And this is a reference to Psalm 41, verse 9. This moment is foretold even further back, because Jesus wasn't caught out. He wasn't surprised. And it's powerful that this moment of announcing the betrayal happens at a meal, because a meal is a time that we spend with our friends. And that was really true in the culture that Jesus lived in. Meals were a place of friendship. It was said that if you sat down together, you couldn't leave as enemies. And think of all the meals that Jesus had had with Judas. All the meals where he had willingly sat with this man who he knew would turn out to be his enemy. And there's this moment in the meal where he passes Judas a piece of bread. And yes, it's the way that Jesus is showing the other disciples that it would be Judas who betrayed him. But in his culture, for the host to pass a morsel of bread to one of the diners was a mark of special friendship. And in doing this, Jesus is saying something amazing. He's saying that despite what Judas will do, his love remains unchanged. It's almost like he's offering a blessing, recognizing the greater purpose that Judas's actions will have. And it's an intimate moment of friendship and love. Despite Judas's decision, Jesus's love remains unchanged. Whatever Judas is about to do, Jesus loves him. Judas is about to go into the darkness and do something that would cause Jesus the most pain. And yet there is love offered, and there would be forgiveness given if Judas had asked for it. And I think that this is a moment for us to really ponder and to sit in. Because we may have a moment in our life that we feel we did something in our past, or we've done something at one point or another, and we think, "I could never bring that to Jesus. Jesus could never forgive that thing that I did." But Jesus' greatest delight is to forgive us. Jesus is there whatever we will do in our lives, and we can come to him and his arms are outstretched to us, offering us forgiveness. So if that is something, then maybe tonight is a night to bring something before the Lord and to lay it at his feet and to know the assurance that just as Jesus loved Judas, Jesus loves us and Jesus will give us forgiveness. Because Jesus went through this betrayal knowingly. Because he desired to make it possible for us to be able to seek forgiveness from him in all things and to know the assurance that that forgiveness will be given. So that's our second point. The betrayal was planned. And our third point tonight is that the betrayal was glorifying. For however painful, however distressing, this betrayal that led to Jesus' death and resurrection was always God's perfect plan. His perfect plan. And Jesus reveals his knowledge of this throughout the Gospel of John. In chapter 14, he says, "Now I have told you before it takes place." And in chapter 16, he says, "I have said all these things." And this death and resurrection had to happen. And as they happened, they glorified God. And, you know, glorifying is not really a word that we use very much, is it? And when I was trying to understand what this meant, I found that it basically means to glorify something is to be doing the thing that best reveals who you are, that best reveals the nature of what makes you you. So I don't know what that would be for you. For me, I think I am most myself when I'm on holiday and I'm in a new city and I'm loving the culture and I'm eating great food and I'm having a great time and I'm not doing any work. That's one time when I think that I am like being me. And the other time is when I have people around for meals because I love to cook for other people. And I would have people over for every meal of the day, every day of the week, if I could and if I could afford it. But when I have people around and we're eating together and we're sharing stories and we're laughing, I think this is me. This is who I am. And Jesus's death on the cross glorifies him and it shows us who he is and what his character is. And it's not only Jesus's nature which is revealed, it's also God's. So it's a relational glorification that we not only get to see who Jesus is, but we also see who God is. Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in him, in himself, and will glorify him at once." This was the most glorious moment of Jesus' work on earth. It's when he shows us who he is. When he shows us that to be God is to love justice, is to be holy, is to be merciful to all of us though we don't deserve it. It shows that he was faithful. He was obedient to do this for us. And it shows us his love, his incredible love for us that he went through this most painful moment so we could know him. Because for Jesus, his death on the cross wasn't a punishment. It wasn't a humiliation. It was about glorifying God and accomplishing the task for which he had come to earth. And I wonder if sometimes we don't dwell on the beauty of the cross. If we look at the cross and then we too quickly want to get to the resurrection. And we're coming up to Easter week and I feel so challenged from this passage of how I can mark Good Friday and how I can make Good Friday a day where I not only remember the love that Jesus shows me through the pain that he went through on the cross, but where I also really look up and look at that cross and think and sit on all of the aspects of God's character that he shows us on the cross. And we have this cross here. And I don't know how we do it, but this is my encouragement to you. That's maybe something for you to be thinking about this Good Friday. There's a writer called John Owen, and he wrote this about how Jesus glorifies God. He wrote, "Christ is specially glorious because he and he alone perfectly reveals God's nature and will to us. Without Christ, we would have known nothing truly about God, or he would have been eternally invisible to us. We would never have seen God at any time, either in this life or the next." Because friends, God is not a mystery to us. Our faith isn't a mystery where we're in the dark trying to work out what it means to believe in Jesus. Our faith is based around a man who allowed himself to die in our place on a cross, showing us that he was obedient to God, his Father, sending him to earth to do this. Showing us that he was merciful, offering this to all of us, offering forgiveness to all of us. Remember that moment with Judas. Showing us his holiness, that only he could die in our place. And showing us his love, that as he died on the cross in our place, he did that because he longs to love every single person on this planet. That is the glory of the cross. I have like goosebumps just thinking about that. And that is the glory of the cross that we get to remember on Good Friday and on every day of our lives. So as the band come up, I just want to remind you of what we've thought about tonight. Judas's betrayal was a devastating moment, but it was a beautiful moment that was planned for eternity because it would reveal God to us, because it would bring about Jesus showing us his love for us by going through the pain that he went through on the cross. So there are so many ways in which you might want to think through this passage tonight. May I remind you of the forgiveness that Jesus offered, that Jesus offers us, of that assurance of knowing that no matter what we have done in our past, we can bring it out of the darkness and lay it at Jesus' feet and know that we can be forgiven. That we have this moment every day to look to the cross and see the glory of who Jesus is. And that we must always be fixing our eyes on Christ and seeking to become more and more like him, rather than trying to be more and more like each other. I want to end by praying especially that we could remember the glory of God that is shown to us on the cross, and that that could be life-changing for us. And that as we come towards Easter, that God would be just in all of our hearts, showing us what we each need to remember about who God is by remembering the cross. May I pray? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much that your perfect plan was to send Jesus to earth to die in our place on the cross. And we thank you that that moment which we might think is a moment of pain and punishment and humiliation, is the greatest act of love that the world has ever seen. And Lord, I pray that as we leave tonight, you would kind of send that into us like a shockwave, and that every day we would remember how loved we are because of what you went through for us. Amen.